This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Such a good day to be in the Lord's house, and we're thankful to see so many faces that we've not seen here in worship in a while. Some of you have been struggling with ailments, and now you're here, and it's good to see your face. It's also good to see the faces of many Elon students who have returned. You see the campus is coming back to life, and of course, we're also thankful for the faces of our students with their backpacks and teachers with their briefcases, all so ready and eager and excited to come back to school. Today, as we celebrate the blessing of backpacks, we acknowledge that this is the day to give thanks to the Lord. It is a new day. A new school year starts, a new church year begins, and life continues to be full of joy and celebration. So we do indeed say God is good. As we worship today, we want to extend that welcome to Those of you who are with us for the first time, if you've not done so before, we encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. You can find those cards on the back of the pew in front of you. There's also a prayer card there. If you have any prayer concerns or prayer needs, you can place that in the offering plate as well. I also want to celebrate with you the life of Miss Hazel Lewis. We are continuing to share and think about many fond stories and memories about her, and I wanted to make you aware that in today's worship service, we have two songs, our prelude and our offertory, which are dedicated to her, and Janie and Becky have put some thought into that. These are songs that she specifically said that she loved and appreciated, and we're glad and honored to be able to hear that music for her glory and the glory of the Lord this morning. As we worship, we do indeed celebrate that every day is the Lord's Day, not just Sunday. But this Sunday particularly, we say it is a new day, a new beginning as school begins. And I want to encourage you to think in that mindset as we worship, as we sing, as we pray, have a heart and mind of expectation that God will do new things on this new day as we continue to worship.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 108, reading a Psalm of David. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is higher than the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Give victory with your right hand and answer me, so that those whom you love may be rescued. God has promised in his sanctuary, with exultation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the vale of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter, Moab is my washbasin, on Edom I hurl my shoe, over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe, for human help is worthless. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes. As we think about these words from Psalm 108 and the prayer that David is lifting up to God, may we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we are in a new day, a new time for not just our congregation, not just for our students and teachers that gather here, but our entire community. And Father, as we breathe in this new breath of air, the excitement, the anticipation that this year will bring, we know that you are going to bring the same excitement. And may we have the same anticipation of what you're going to do in this place, in this hour of worship today. Father, breathe in us. And Father, may we give you thanks. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Here I Am to Worship.
You may be seated. Now we would like for all of our teachers and all students from preschool all the way up to college to please come forward down to the altar here. Don't be bashful. Come on down. All teachers and students. And the words should be on the screen, so hopefully you can see the screen in the back or up here in the front. But we would like to honor all of our teachers and our students, as some of them have already started back to school, and most of them are starting back tomorrow. As you can see, some of the sad faces up here. Some are happy, some of them are sad. Parents, y'all look very happy out in the audience. Parents are happy, but these up here are kind of sad this morning. But up on the screen, you'll see the blessing of the backpacks. And I don't know if the students brought their backpacks or not, but we want to have a blessing here for our teachers and our students. I will do the reading that is in where it says leader, and then everybody else respond where it says all. Oh, holy God, the time has come when school begins. As these children begin their studies, we ask a blessing on their backpacks in which they carry these books and notebooks, markers, pens, pencils that they will use to learn. Bless, O God, all who teach our children in the coming days, weeks, and months. Give them the wisdom to find inspiration for each child. Give them the energy and the creativity and the love that will make their work a blessing to our children. Bless, O God, all the school administrators, that they may be faithful stewards of the resources entrusted to their care. Make them fair and merciful to do their crucial work in the spirit of the grace and the compassion. Bless, O God, each one gathered here, that we will seek every opportunity to grow in our knowledge and of your love, in our church, in our school classes, our youth, and our children ministries. Grant that we may see you more clearly, you more dearly, follow you more nearly. And bless, O God, these our cherished children, those whom we have promised to love and nurture. Keep them safe, keep them excited, keep them ever seeking to learn more and develop their gifts. Grant that through their studies that they may gain their tools to grow in love and faith and in service in all their days. Bless, O God, these backpacks and the children who carry them. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer. Amen. Stay here. Don't move.
Don't escape yet. It is a new time. It is a new beginning to the school year. And as we approach this school year as educators, as students, we know that God will be with us every step of the way. So this morning we're going to have a special prayer for our students and our teachers. Also, immediately following the prayer, there are gifts that have been put together by the worship team. On the right side over here are our gifts that Linnea Allward will be holding for our students and teachers. You are welcome to come to the basket on the left side, where Sally Farnham will have a gift to you for the teachers. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning, lifting up this year of school. Father, let's pray. Father, we come to you as a community that is excited for this new year. Now, we don't know what this year is going to hold. We don't know what lessons our students are going to learn. We don't know all the surprises that our teachers will have to face. But what we do know is this, that you are with us. You are with each student as they enter the doors of their school, as they enter the doors of their classrooms, as they open their minds to the educations that they will learn. We know that you will be with our teachers every step of the way as they welcome their students with smiling faces on that first day of school or that first week or that first month. Father, we know that you are going to look down upon the educators, the facilitators of each school, the secretaries, the principals, the deans, those in charge of admissions, those that are going to touch so many students in so many different ways. And Father, you are with them as well. Father, we know that as a community, as a church community, impacted by the beginning of a school year, we know that you are calling each one of us to lift up prayers for everyone. So, Father, whether it's our children going to school, whether it's our grandchildren, whether it's our spouse or our parents that are going to the schools to teach, whatever the situation might be, Father, may they know that they have a church family here at First Baptist Elon praying for them. I lift up our students. Bless them, guide them, keep them safe. I lift up our teachers. Bless them, guide them, keep them safe. I lift up our facilitators. Bless them, guide them, keep us safe. And Father, most importantly, may you go with us every step of the way. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Y'all can go get your gifts.
Offertory hymn this morning is Rejoice the Lord is King, 197. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Your heart again, I say rejoice. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we do rejoice that you are King. We thank you, Father, many blessings you have given us. We thank you, Father, educators, and we pray that each of their students feel their love in yours. We lift up the students as they return to school, and we pray you give them courage and guidance to face each day. Bless these gifts and the givers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Leslie posted on my Facebook page this week a little cartoon of a police officer approaching the pastor in the pulpit that said, "You preached a 45-minute sermon in a 25-minute sermon lane. I need to see your license and ordination, please." Well, I don't have a 45-minute message for you, but we do have a word from the Lord. Let us pause to pray as we prepare to receive it. Oh God, as we heard the choir so beautifully proclaim, we come to seek you. And step by step, we hope to grow closer to you. Even as we know we can never be closer to you than we already are. So really, Lord, our prayer is that we might be mindful of you, aware of you, alert to your presence within us and around us. That much like St. Patrick prayed long ago, you are before us, behind us, beneath us, to our right and to our left, above us, and most importantly, you are in us. And so, Lord, open our minds that we might know your truth and your word. Amen. It is indeed that time of year again, boys and girls, for school to begin again. And you can tell it. You can tell it by the looks in the eyes of the zombie-like parents in the Walmart temporary school supply aisles as they, like scavengers in some post-apocalyptic reality, are looking for that one eraser or that one specially sized composition notebook that that one teacher insists that your child must have. And they're all gone. You can tell it. You can tell it by the looks on kids' faces. They don't know if they want to shout for joy or throw up. It's a mix of emotions of excitement and fear, joy and dread, all wrapped up into one emotion. You can tell it. It's that time of year. I used to love this time of year when I was a kid, and I was not a good student. In fact, I was no student at all. I was the kid that when I was assigned to your class as a teacher, you would bow your head and pray for mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I was the kid that in my math class, I'll never forget, in eighth grade, they drew a line down the middle of the room, and they sat us by name either to the right or to the left, much like at the end of the age, the Lord will separate the sheep from the goats. And our math teacher told us, as I was sitting here on the right side, "Now, all of you on the right side, you're on the stupid side. And you can work your way over to the smart side, but for now, you're on the stupid side." And do you know, I did not move an inch. It was only after I became a believer and a disciple, and much more so a called into ministry, that all of that changed. But even then, when I was no student at all, and hated school, I still loved this time of year. If you're lucky, your parents would take you up to the outlet and you'd get a new pair of Converse. You would get brand new lunchbox with gremlins on it. You know, you would get a brand new pencil box. And if you were really lucky, you'd find one of those big, thick pencils so that nobody could defeat you in the outlaw game of pencil break. Did anybody ever play that when you were a kid? I was a champion 3 years running. In the East. It was that exciting time of year that everything was new, even the smells. I can remember, if I close my eyes, I can still smell that smell of opening up a fresh Trapper Keeper for the first time. Did anybody have a Trapper Keeper? It was that sense of a new day. A new opportunity, too, was in the air. It wasn't all the smells and scents and textures of new stuff. It was the hope for a new reality. You kind of had this mindset as a kid that maybe this would be the year, right? When things would go my way. Maybe this would be the year I'd get that really easy teacher that lets you get away with everything. Maybe this would be the year that that girl that you liked would finally say yes. Maybe this would be the year that things would work out for you, that things would go your way, that you would get more or something different or something better. Maybe this would be the year people would forget that time that you accidentally walked into the girls' volleyball locker room because you were a sixth grader and you didn't know. People don't forget things like that, by the way. I can go to Whiteville today and someone say, hey, remember that time? But you had that hope that this would be the new year. This would be the year that things would work out. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're anything like me, perhaps you're sitting in this room today, even as an adult, saying, you know, I could kind of use one of those years myself. All of us, throughout every age of life, we find ourselves from time to time thinking, maybe this will be the year. We just long for a new start, a fresh do-over, a new day where maybe this will be the day that things all kind of come together. Maybe this will be the day that I finally find a little peace or joy or a little rest. Maybe this will be the year I catch up on everything that I've been putting off. Maybe this will be the year we paint the house. Maybe this will be the year the kids get along. Maybe this will be the year that thing that I've been hoping for finally comes through for me. And then that's surface, but then there's the more intimate inner longings for newness that we all are familiar with at different seasons in our life where we say, we don't just need some new day, we need renewal day. Something fresh, a new spirit, a new mindset, a new sense of peace or purpose. If you have any idea what those kinds of sentiments are like, then you know something of what the people who might have been the audience for Zephaniah were thinking about and going through. We don't know a whole lot about Zephaniah. It's not, you know, one of those go-to scripture passages anyway, is it? But we do know that he was probably someone of royalty, that he was someone who was very concerned about the nation. We think that he was writing at a time before the exile. But then there is this part here kind of at the end here in chapter 3, verses 14 through 20, that scholars believe is post-exilic. It's something that has happened after the destruction of Jerusalem and after the fall of the walls and after the people have been taken off into exile. And you could certainly imagine that if anybody in history longed for a new day, it would be those who, it is said, sat down by the waters of Babylon and wept for thee, O Jerusalem. And they noted some word that would tell them things can get better. I think that's something that students need to hear every year, that things can and must get better in our lives, that things can change and improve. As I heard one alcoholic put it as he was sharing his testimony, he said, my history is not my destiny. That's a powerful word, isn't it? That the things of yesterday do not necessarily have to define who I will be this year. Who I will be this year could be my choice anew. And so these words from the prophet come. They come to them telling the people, things are about to change for you. They are about to get better for you. They are about to improve for you. And all of your history of bad decisions and mistakes and wrong locker rooms and whatever, that's all back there. But now this new moment is right here before you. And what are we told to do? Sing aloud. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak." It's a new day. Sing, shout, rejoice, celebrate. Even before the day has begun, Zephaniah is saying, even at that moment, praise in faith that it will be better. The day hasn't even started yet. They don't even have the fulfillment of any of these promises yet. And already he is giving them the instruction to have faith it will come. Much of my adult life as a student of the Bible, I have noticed that there seems to be this division between being a Christian and being a disciple. That a Christian is a person who has experienced salvation, they've encountered the risen Christ, and they know where they're going when they die. They have accepted that reality of Jesus. A disciple is someone who takes seriously the teachings of Jesus. They don't want just salvation, but his lordship over their life. And they seek to try to follow all of the instructions and teachings of Jesus. But in recent years, I've come to see that there's an even third level, and that is the believer. The one who has faith that God can work and act beyond just following all the rules and regulations and having salvation. One who lives by faith, the believer, can hope in and rejoice in and celebrate in realities that we have not yet experienced. Think about that. And it is only when we are experiencing all three, Christian, disciple, believer, that we are fully human and having life to the full. Zephaniah is a believer. He says, rejoice, for this new day is already a reality for you. This new life is already there for you. This new hope, peace, purpose, presence, joy, and laughter are already real, despite the circumstances around us. He goes on to say, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival." There's these two beautiful promises for the new day come with gifts. They come with gifts of victory and love. As we approach a new year as a church, as you approach a new year as students or teachers or administrators, or just as folk trying to go step by step in the world today, think about the wonder of those two promises, victory and love. That you don't have to be crushed every day. You don't have to feel defeated. You don't have to feel like you're worthless. You don't have to feel like you are the burden of all your past mistakes, that you can have a victory that is beyond reality. And this victory is given by the one who, it says, sings over us in love. I love that image of a father or a mother kneeling over the crib, your crib, for you are the child and he is the parent, singing lullabies to you. There is a Hebrew phrase you see often in the prophets, "Thus says the Lord." The reality is, scholars have some debate about what the right translation for that phrase really is. And one argument that has been made is that it's best translated as, "Thus sings the Lord." For it's only in the lullaby of a loving parent that we can hear the truth of love in spite of all the reality that we see around us. Death and destruction and discrimination, hurt and pain, judgment and jealousy and envy and strife. And yet, thus sings the Lord, a new day of love. And in this new day, Zephaniah tells us, he says of the Lord, I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. The past is gone. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. Who cares who sneers and laughs and bullies and pokes fun? They are nothing compared to the Lord. And I will save the lame. I will gather the outcast. I remember hearing a preacher when I was a teenager say, making the statement, Jesus is for losers. He's for the outcast. He's for the lame. And you can take that in a modern social sense of the word lame. He's for the ones that other people don't care about, who overlook, who judge as being just the wrong sort or the wrong type. He's the one that sees the kid in the corner who's all alone and hurting and breaking apart. You know that our children today deal with emotions and deep senses of angst and loneliness and despair like you could never imagine. And you see the happy faces in the hallways and would never imagine for a moment what is going on behind those eyes. The struggle. But here Zephaniah says that this Father who sings over us, He's there for you. He is with you. At that time, I will bring you home. If you ever just remembered a moment when you were a kid and you cried, I just want to go home. He'll take you. He'll gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before the Lord, before your eyes, says the Lord. Or then again, thus sings the Lord. You know, we are so defined in life by the external, by what's happening around us. It affects our mood. It affects our performance. It affects our success, our career choices. That if things are going well and we're praised, good. But if things are not, sometimes just one thing can set off a day to make a day that should have been great seem kind of awful. It's because we allow this stuff, the stuff around us, to affect us, and other people's drama becomes our drama. It's kind of like the character Pigpen from Charlie Brown. He had that swirl, and you remember everything Pigpen touched would get a little bit of that swirl on it. But here Zephaniah tells us something. There's a secret woven into these words, a secret reality, a secret truth that is counterintuitive to that mindset. It says that it is not about what's going on around us that matters. Listen to these words. He said it twice on that day when he talks about the Lord your God is where? In your midst. Midst. Qatar, the word, it's that inmost place, the most inward secret chamber of you, the seat of your deepest, most personal thoughts. That's what it means when it says in your midst. And so the key to the new day is not about life choices or self-help books or having a better attitude or the right teachers or the right circumstances or the right class or just the right trapper keeper with just the right gremlin sticker on it. But the key is what's in our deepest self, the Spirit of the Lord. Let me give you an exercise. I want everyone in the room to take the biggest, deepest breath you can and hold it. And while you're holding that breath, what's going through your mind? What are you thinking about? How long is he going to make me do this? When can I take another? When can I breathe in again? Don't anybody pass out. Go ahead and breathe. It's okay. As you breathe deeply in and out, you don't see anything. You can't tangibly touch it, but you feel it, don't you? You feel the air coming into you. You feel the pressure against the walls of your lungs. You feel it there in that sense of, all I really want is another one of those. Breath is this beautiful image that's called upon here by this word midst. God is like that. You don't see it. You maybe can't tangibly touch him and hold hands with him and hug him, but you feel him in your life when he's in your midst. It fills you up. It gives you life. And all you want is another breath of that, another dose of that, another chance to spend time with that. That's the power of that imagery, breath. Without breath, you do what? You die. But with breath, we are alive. And so as you go into this new year, I want you to have this motivational poster on your heart and in your mind. Keep calm and breathe. The Spirit is in the air, and the Lord is with you. Would you pray with me? Lord, teach us to keep calm and breathe. To breathe in your Spirit, the Ruach Yeshua. To breathe in that very presence into our lives, that you might be in our midst. So that our lives may be full, purposed, peaceful, and overflowing with joy, so that we might be your children and hear the words of your song of hope and love that you sing over us, so that no matter what comes our way, O Lord, that we would stand our ground and we would know that we are safe with you. In the name of Jesus, the Christ, we pray. Amen. We invite you to respond to God's word this morning as we sing our hymn of response, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. It's number 416 in your hymnals, and we're going to sing verse 1 and 4. Please stand if you're able. Blessing as you go. May the one who keeps you walk with you in this week to come, guiding your steps in the way of life and the way of light, bringing to you hope and joy in all things, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.